Hello, welcome to Bagel Tech Big, the weekly show from the Bagel Tech Network that looks at all things tech across the whole of the news that's occurred in the week. And I'm here, and my voice isn't, but never mind, I'll find it as we go, as I get excited, perhaps. We've got a fantastic panel joining us, top left. We've got first, but worst, last but no means least, James Hart. Hello, mate, how you doing?
Now that's one heck of an intro.
Last week he was upset, so I've put him back where he was, otherwise he'd have a hissy fit.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'd like to start, if possible, with a rant, if I may. Bagel Tech represents a very small niche of gadget technology-led video programmes in the UK. The only other one I can think of is The Gadget Show on Channel 5.
Right.
I think we should mount a coup. Have you ever seen it?
The Gadget Show?
It's just shouting! And adverts.
But their competitions have got an awful lot of stuff, haven't they?
License to print money. They charge you £1 for a call. But actually, there's a lot of stuff. But if they've got £15,000 worth of stuff and they're charging £1 for a call, it only takes 20,000 callers and they've made their money back on it.
Yeah, no.
We do it for free.
We do it for free, that's right.
Yeah.
I could increase the shouting if you would like me to, Ewan.
You shout all you want, mate.
Okay.
You be a typically hyped up American.
I always do.
Next to James is Ian. Hello, mate. How you doing, Ian? Grant. Our relevant Windows expert-ish.
Ish, yes.
Yeah. Now you've valiantly been trying to get Windows to run for us, so we could do a little presentation on it. But that doesn't seem to be working too well at the minute. But there's time yet, perhaps.
Only if I can get another ISO downloaded in the time, but I doubt it.
No.
Goosed, man. Goosed,
how have you been in the last 2 weeks since we've seen you?
Oh, I've been cool. Been good, working hard as usual, doing bits and bobs.
Good man.
Just the usual stuff.
Beneath him, we've got Sarah Gray. Hello, girl. How you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. I want to know when my turn's going to come to be top left.
You want to be top left, mate? I'll make you top left.
Yeah! At least for 1 week.
Yeah, I don't mind the work when I come home from a long drive, taking all the masks and changing them around and redoing all the lower thirds.
I'm only teasing.
It's fine. And last but by no means least, Mr. Eric Lanigan. That's not Eric Lanigan. What have I done?
I'm not going to say a word.
Oh, dear
Lord. Oh, it looks like James. Hey, caught me off guard. I was trying to bagel roll your own show with your own logo, but I was too late to get to it. But hello
mate. As California,
it's great. It's actually very nice weather today. It's been hot, but
now it's shut up, it's winter.
Yeah,
here
thank
I hate you.
I was gonna say the same thing.
You're coming into winter and it's gonna be just like lukewarm, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought, really... wait a minute, did you guys ever not have winter? Because just like, you know, you went from saying how cold it is to how cold it is to now how cold it is.
Yeah, no, winter was something that someone brought back from a package tour to Benidorm once. Yeah, no question.
I spent a whole winter in California and it was really cold and wet and snowy over here and I was so glad I was over there.
Never mind.
Well, actually here, at least in the Northern California, the winter is the rainy season, so it just rains constantly.
I quite like it cold.
I don't mind. It's going to be a
and now
mixture,
we report on the East Coast. Here's so-and-so with the...
we do the weather. We do
Look,
Kyle
we
Swagger.
We Brits are experts at talking about the weather, Eric, if you don't mind.
Yeah, because we usually get four seasons in one day. That's why. Yeah.
No, really?
I'm going away camping. This show will not be published until Monday because I'm going away camping with Ellis over the weekend. And the forecast for where we're going is for it to piss down. And piss down
now what kind
hard.
Of now what kind of camping do you do? You take the luxury tent. You sleep in the back of the SUV with the power plugs and the electric TV, or do you rough it?
No, we've got a little pop up tent that's two man, and you just open it up and it pings up, and you guide rope it down, and you crawl in and crawl out
underneath Spaghetti Junction.
No, not quite. Not quite.
Somewhere a bit more expensive.
Like a park or somewhere nice.
But we're going away for a couple of days. Ellis wants to learn how to navigate, so I'm going to show him how to navigate. So how to tell the time when you haven't got a watch and that kind of stuff. So it should be fun.
Which way's north? Bark on the trees and moss on the trees, isn't it? It's north.
I'll have to remember that one. Thanks, mate.
Yeah.
The Week in Technology, what's been happening? We've got three in the UK has taken legal action over the NFC consortium that's been put up by the other ones that they've been excluded from. Waterstones are going to start selling an e-reader. Waterstones is kind of like Barnes & Noble over here, but they've got no e-reader until now. Android phones have overtaken iPhone as far as app downloads are concerned. And Cleverbot allegedly passed the Turing test. But we've had a little play with it before we started, and it didn't pass simple questions like, does Carol Bartz? And then I put some sexual stuff in. The answer was definitely not. Do you want to try and avoid Windows 8, or are we going to have to cover it?
Let's get it out of the way.
I get email.
Speaks the voice of reluctance.
I get hate mail from Windows users calling me a fanboy, and now when I slag off Apple, all the Mac users think I'm the Antichrist as well, so I can't win.
Yeah, well, that's for tomorrow afternoon, isn't it, Ewan?
What do we reckon then? First thoughts, Windows 8, is it home run or is it own goal?
The quick boot time, brilliant.
Well, they reckon it's faster than a monitor now.
Well, that's right. I mean, the closest I've ever come, my daughter's got a Pentium 4 with 1 gig of memory. It was really struggling with XP, so I put Windows 3.1 on really quick.
So are you saying that the architecture in 8 has gone back to the successful architecture of 3.1.1?
Ian's struggling to download it because it comes on 108 floppies.
Only 108?
Well, it'll be more than that, surely.
We are going to get so much hate mail from Windows users here. Come on.
So how many of us on the panel besides Sarah are day-to-day Windows users?
Oh, me.
That's what I do for living. I support Windows.
Oh.
It's three. I mean, are you a day-to-day Windows user, Eric? Or?
I am not.
No, I'm not either. But
well, I'd use it at work reluctantly, but I'm much well, everyone knows my preferences.
Linux.
Yeah, of course.
Just in case anyone was not sure.
But I have to say I'm sitting on a Mac tonight, but I am a Windows guy. That's what I do for a living.
Right. So, I mean, first impressions interesting to start with you perhaps, Eric, because you had a lot of people phoning in last night. You were asking for devs this morning when I went out. Did you get any devs call in?
Not a one.
Really?
I mean, it was really late at night, but yeah, no devs. And I wanted to hear firsthand from some devs.
So the what was the response from people that were calling in as far as the new Windows? Was it all fanboys calling in, or was it a good mix and an honest mix?
It was the most measured response to either an Apple or Microsoft story I've ever heard from the chat room. I'd like to think it was because I started off the show by saying we're not going to have arguments about fanboyism. We're just going to have a measured critique. But I don't know if that's actually if that had any influence on them at all.
You stamped your authority on it.
But I was very impressed by the chat room. You guys know because I like came right from doing the first time that the Windows 8 story broke, and I covered that on Tech Talkback, and I came to do this show, and I was like, they were eating me alive, because they were just like yelling and yelling at me, you have the facts wrong, you're a hater, you're stupid. And I got none of that last night, as far as I know.
No, I mean, the chat room looked
the chat
pretty...
room all the time.
No, the chat room looked pretty...
tame?
Pretty tame, yeah. No, there was quite a few people in there, but they weren't coming out with anything that was wildly... See, what was interesting was you saying about the tameness, but the tameness came through as the fact that they weren't actually wowing about this either.
That's right. That's a good point. They were very, very measured responses. Mm. And almost no one talked about it in terms of a tablet. They were all talking about it on their desktop, which I found very interesting. Which also tells me that maybe Microsoft needs to reassess what they plan to use that Metro for. Because they seem to be really...
Do you know what I think? Sorry, Ian.
Go on. All I was going to say was, we've got now multi-touch touchpads. Why won't it work?
All I can say is...
We can't have touchscreens and everything else, but we've got touchscreen. You know, like my Mac here, I've got swipe and Christ knows what, all up and down, left and right, that I can do with a touchpad. If I can do that with a touchpad, think about Launchpad online.
Well, Logitech launched a pad.
I don't think it'll be any different.
Logitech timed a launch of a new pad as well, didn't they? I'm just trying to find a picture of it here. Yeah, wireless touchpad. And hang on, where are we going? My desktop. There we go.
I hadn't seen that. That's their first computer, Logitech's, I guess.
Yeah, Logitech have launched a wireless touchpad. No,
like a mouse.
It's an interface. It's not. It's user interface.
So it is a peripheral.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a scrolly, swipey touchpad, aka the one that Apple have got. And I can feel a lawsuit coming on already. but this thing will work natively with a Windows 7 PC already. And of course, according to one of the announcements, anything that you've got that works natively with Windows 7 will work natively with Windows 8. They're saying full compliance and compatibility, which I thought was an enormous leap forward.
My issue is I'm not really sure Windows 8's for. I haven't really got the grips of it. I don't know what they're offering. There's, as you say, it's the Metro. There's all this kind of cool stuff, but what am I going to do? What am I going to do with it? I'm just about used to Windows 7, and I've kind of got all the cool stuff out of the way. It's like Vista, except quicker. But this could be a major paradigm shift, or I might just end up doing exactly what I was doing before and swearing at the bits I swore about before. I just don't know.
I think it's probably going to start to be a paradigm shift. They say the start button's moved. You've got the tile interface like the Windows Phone, so they're trying to get you away from it. And I think for your average, not us, but your average Joe Punter is going to roll up to it. On this front screen, he's going to have a button for his Facebook and his Twitter. He's going to have a button on the front for Internet Explorer, another button for his email, little weather ticker going on in the corner. He's not going to care. He's just going to go, oh, clicky, clicky, and off he goes. It's going to be great on a tablet. I really do think. I mean, I enjoy it on my phone I've got now because I'm one of these mad people that have actually got Windows Phone 7 phone. And it is genuinely really good.
How long before they bring out the Windows Marketplace then?
I think they've already got it. I think there's an app store in there somewhere already. They're actually encouraging developers to go that route.
Well, they're saying there's really easy. Full integration with Xbox Live. So anything that you've got running where you've got an application that's designed to run on Xbox and run on Windows platform as a game, you can basically hop between the two and you'll get concurrent gameplay between them. They're talking about the fact that there's a single image for all multi-monitors. So instead of having to put a single picture on each monitor, and if you want to have a panoramic view, you've got to split up three pictures. You get one picture that's the relevant pixel dimension, post it to it, and it'll spread across the number of monitors that you've got instantly. What was interesting to me as well was that they're saying that Windows 8 will not support plugins. So it won't be taking Flash. Now, I mean, that could be quite significant.
Silverlight all the way then?
Well, Silverlight's gone. No?
Won't support plugins. What do you mean?
HTML5?
If you go to Slashdot, there was a story posted there saying Microsoft Windows engineering team has announced that the Metro interface web browser in Windows 8 will not support plugins. And that includes Adobe Flash. Users will still be able to open a traditional browser interface to make use of legacy sites that rely on plugins. The news follows a recent blog post by the Internet Explorer 10 team, pushing the use of HTML5 video as a replacement for Flash video.
It's so the anti-Firefox.
Well, this is another company that stepped away from Flash, and Adobe have got to be really hurting from this, surely.
That's interesting.
Fed up of it.
You know, to me, I think the Windows 8 story has to be looked at from at least two different user perspectives. One of those is how do you think it will survive in the market? How do you think it will fare in the market as an ARM-based tablet competitor directly competing with other tablets like the iPad and Android-based tablets? And the second is, do you think that's appropriate for the desktop? I think it's very risky because if you think about it, this interface, this Metro interface, has never been on a successful product ever. They had it on the Zune, that's gone. They had it on Windows Phone 7. We're now a year after that release. They've got 1% of the market share. And now they're porting it to their 95% system, Microsoft Windows, for the desktop and for everything. And they're saying that is the future. The future is the post-PC era. It's going to look like that. It's going to be touch first. First of all, what do you guys think of the actual interface itself? From a design perspective, when I first saw it, I really like some of the ideas they have. I like the simplicity. I like the minimalism, but the actual design is a bit odd. I think it's extremely two dimensional. It's like aggressively not 3D. There's not a drop shadow or gradient to be found. It's all just harsh edges and solid colors. Looks like something that came out of the 1960s, purely because of how different it looks and different by design to be noticeably different than iOS or Android by its visual design. But how successful will that be? It's different enough that it might actually turn off consumers if they're not on board with that look. What do you guys think of the actual look?
Well, I don't think it's... I don't know if it's an issue with the look at all, actually. What will attract users from Windows 7 to Windows 8 is the functionality, the cool stuff you can do with it. I don't think the look is going to go. I think it'll frighten people in some respect. with Apple products, there's been a steady evolution. But with this, this is a real stark difference. And I'm not entirely sure, although it's different and it's cool, I don't really like it. I fear change.
I mean, to be honest, I mean, I've just got a picture of the startup screen that Ian's posted. To me, that screams, I don't want to have to render this on a tablet device with a shitload of drop shadows and a whole pile of other stuff that's going to slow my processor down. This is simplicity for the purposes of speed.
I don't know about that, though. Use on my Windows phone, it is brilliant. You just tap on the square. What could be easier?
Yeah, but I think that's the whole point, isn't it? On a phone, yes, that's great, but I really don't think that the average punter is going to take to it, as somebody said. I don't think they're going to take to it that well. I have a feeling, I mean, I haven't really looked at it in depth yet, but I will download it and have a play with it. My first impression is that this is just pure, this is like when this is like Microsoft's next Vista, in that it's a, that all they've done is they've taken everything they need to do to converge the operating systems for all the different platforms, including phones and desktop PCs, laptops, and blah, 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 and said, right, okay, we've bolted Windows 7 together, and this is now Windows 8. And I don't think most, certainly people who have a, you know, a desktop PC or a laptop, what's in it for them? It's too harsh. I mean, it's too difficult to use. You're going to need more devices like that touchpad that we looked at earlier, the Logitech one, before it really becomes.
Do you have to move your finger left to scroll right?
Just like Lion.
Yeah.
It's probably more know. Likely to be.
Oh my goodness.
How does it, Ian? How does it work on a Windows 7 mobile?
It's just with the finger. It's really, really straightforward. I find it really easy to use.
I mean, so if you move your finger to the right, it scrolls to the right. To the left, isn't it? Yeah.
Why can't you do a screen share on your phone? Pathetic.
I can't do it with the camera, though. I don't know if that works at all or not.
Yeah, it works if you tilt it down so there's no reflection or tilt up.
Hang on.
Or drop it. Tilt it up. There you go. So it's away from the light. It's nothing's moving, mate. You've dropped it and broken it.
Oh, hang on.
Now, see, personally, I look at that interface and I just think that that's the text is too big. It just visually doesn't do it for me. And I worry that it's different. It's starkly different enough from any other interface anyone's ever seen on any, even a web page. It's so untraditional that it could turn people off from a design perspective or even a functionality perspective, how they have that continuous, what do they call it? The panoramic screens where you keep swiping on the Windows phone to the right and then it shows it actually like scrolls as if it were an extended widescreen Vista view in front of you. And then they're telling all developers to go for that. And I think there's a real disconnection in the mind of these people because how can you have the same people designing such a radically simplified interface, like simpler even than anything Apple's ever done on their simplest days? And then at the same time, adding complexity to the other side of Windows. They made that ribbon bar, which in Windows Explorer, which is insane. They put all those 0% and 1% button click features up to the front. And they added that.
The ribbon is actually, once you get used to it, excellent.
But you see what I'm saying, Ian? How can the same, can you really trust the same minds that, who are adding complexity on the one side to swipe over to the left and then design the perfect, beautiful, simple design that's going to be groundbreaking and change the way the industry works?
I mean, there's an interesting point. Robert, at Street Machine on Twitter, Robert Falk, who writes for our blog, wrote out an interesting blog post today and put it up. But there's a one line in it that really struck me when I read it. It's been shown that there's no doubt that it's a radical departure from the previous versions of Windows, so different that it might as well ship with a different product name.
Microsoft Squares.
Microsoft Blobs.
It may still. Remember, they're still saying Windows 8 is a code name.
Microsoft OS.
And the other thing to bear in mind, beyond all of this, is that Windows 8 is very much in beta. This is still one of their ideas. It's not finished by a huge stretch by the margin yet. They're still messing on, still trying to decide. I think they're showing it to probably going, what do you think of this?
Oh, but this is This is what this is. We're particular. I don't know about that because this is a similar stage that they did with Windows 7, and Windows 7 really, from beginning to end, was it didn't turn out to be a huge amount different. They're setting down. I think they're setting down their they're setting out their stall with this. I'm bewildered by it. I'm going to have to download the dev edition of it just to have a play with it, see if it's any good.
I mean, there's comments in the chat room. Russ is not known for his temperance over Windows operating systems, and he's calling it baby's first operating system. People are saying it's a bit of a joke. They can't believe that the start menu's gone. You know, this is one of the things that Apple's had a problem with Lion. He's taking conventions of 30 years, effectively, and throwing them out with the bathwater. There is wholesale change in this.
I don't think it particularly. I think, you know, I mean, you're always going to get people who are going to resist change. That's human nature. I think what you actually have to remember here is that sometimes you have to think differently to progress technology. And I'm not saying that Microsoft have got it right. But at least they're actually doing, you know, you should give them some credit for saying, okay, what else can we do here to make this even easier to use? I don't actually think, from what I've seen, that they've got it right at all. In fact, it looks terrible.
Well, this is, I was going to say,
defend them on one hand and then slice them viscerally with the tongue on the other. Yeah. Well done, Sarah.
In some ways, I'm actually admiring.
She's subtle. She sneaks up behind you.
Go on, Sarah.
I'm admiring them for at least saying, okay, well, how can we change this? Let's step back from what we've got. I mean, remember that, you know, when we had Windows 3.11, it really wasn't anything like this. It was only when we went to Windows 95 that we really got the proper start one.
Well, I think the proper Windows.
I love the fact that that's, you're really crap, but I love you for it. I love you for being crap.
I think you'll find Windows 3.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that what they've offered is not that good. However, I admire them for actually saying, okay, well, how can we do this differently?
But that's like saying, no, you're absolutely right. They are trying to do it differently, but they've clearly not had many very good ideas.
I agree with you.
I've got the perfect...
Go on.
I've got the perfect example for why we can't trust Microsoft to reinvent themselves to be super simplistic. There's too much Microsoft still there. And did anyone happen to see, did any of you, first of all, did any of you go to watch on their website the Microsoft Build keynote from this week? And did you happen to, while viewing it in Silverlight, click the full screen button?
No.
If you had, you would be treated, even on the Mac platform, as I was, to the following, not error message, but could we call it an option message? Microsoft Silverlight. Do you want to allow this website to stay in full screen mode when you interact with another window? If you choose no, the website will still enter full screen mode, but will exit full screen mode when it loses focus. Yes, no, and remember my answer. It asks you this when I click full screen, like full screen YouTube or full screen QuickTime. And it stops to ask me a question that I never even knew was a thing. Would I like to allow the website to stay in full screen mode when I interact with another window? I don't freaking know. It stops me to ask me this when I'm just trying to view their live keynote full screen.
Yeah, just JFDI.
If this is the company, they stop me in the middle of a routine operation, full screen video, to ask me if I want to do something that I didn't even know existed, let alone if I did know existed, would never, ever want to do. Put other windows in front of it while remaining full screen? Not even QuickTime does that. And here's the kit. So can we trust this company to keep doing this and making products like this on the right-hand side of their OS? And when you swipe to the left, they're a totally different company and they're clean and they're simple and they're for everybody. And the kicker is, when I finally did say yes, just to try it, I was like, okay, let's see with this website, what would happen if I did say I want to allow it to stay in full screen while other windows stay in front of it when I interact with other windows. I'm going to try to see what happens if I say yes. It crashed the browser. I had to restart the browser and then restart my computer because it made my menu bar disappear across all applications.
I take back what I was saying.
That's
about the
Microsoft.
Gadget show.
Your lips are turning blue, Larry. You need to learn to breathe.
Breathe, Eric.
Breathe.
I think you spent too long in the Apple ecosystem, Eric.
But no, seriously, is that not, I mean, that's not even a Microsoft versus Apple thing. That's a Microsoft versus any other rational software developer, Google, whomever. I mean, do you see, am I insane or is that error message insane?
Bit of both.
It is insane. I agree with you. But we're talking one little thing.
Yeah, the whole OSS is utter crap because of your one message that came upon a Mac.
I think that's perfect. Well, I had a report last night. I mentioned it, and someone said it's on the same error message as on Windows. It's just, it perfectly encapsulates why they just think weirdly. It's like Apple thinks different. They think weird. Like, why?
Oh, I think that's a bit of a generalization. And certainly at the moment, Apple are thinking very differently and differently to the point of people going, They're not enjoying. I mean, I think there's a lot of people now. You know, after Snow Leopard came out and after Leopard came out and there was a leap away from Panther, people were kind of like, oh, I don't know if I like this. But after 3 or 4 weeks, they were kind of like, actually, this isn't bad. I'm getting used to it. I'm enjoying it. There's a lot of people looking at Lion now and going, hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it. Loathe it. Don't want it.
I use zero features that were introduced in Lion.
There you go.
I mean, people are just hating Lion full stop.
I'm getting the impression that people are going to onto the mic. They're going to be using this operating system and just keep going, gah! Like that. Just like, gah! Every now and then. Because it's going
like,
to do something.
You mean like me? Within,
yeah, a bit like that, except shorter.
You're much shorter. Well, at the risk of elongating my rant here, have you guys ever seen the slide that is attributed to Microsoft, attributed to a leaked Microsoft internal slide that's called How Apple Does It, A Virtuous Cycle?
No.
It's really interesting. They show a circular flowchart that says brand promise. Apple brand is known for high quality, uncomplicated. It just works, quote unquote. Brand promise goes to user interface is low in friction. That's how they describe Apple's user interface. It's low in friction, which then leads to confidence and ability to use. The user then says, hey, I get this. This isn't hard. I'm adventurous. I now can explore into the
This
Apple
is Microsoft's
water.
Interpretation of Apple.
Yeah. So UI.
They've obviously lost that document then.
Confidence and ability to use leads to realized value because people say, I'm getting the most out of this hardware in a way I never thought I would. I'm not intimidated. I love it. To high satisfaction, back to brand promise. So the key in all this that they don't have, that Apple does, is what they're saying here, is the user interface is low in friction, which leads to confidence and ability to use and realize value. That's why I look at that Silverlight window and say UI is low in friction. I just wanted to do full screen, something that is expected behavior in every video you play on any system of any app, web page, anywhere. And it stops to ask me if I want to do something that I didn't even know existed, but wouldn't even want if I knew it did. That's as frictiony as it gets.
I think that's a good point in the fact that you know, if contextually you can get complex error messages, but in what you're talking about there, I want to go full screen and watch this. You don't expect it to say, well, okay, but do you want other stuff to pop up if you get a notification window, growl, et cetera, et cetera. Growl should just do it. I suppose unless you wanted to capture it, but I still think it's not right. You should just have an always on top feature that's in the preferences or something. And I've got to say, the only things I would ever use Silverlight for is Sky Go, and Sky Go works brilliantly with it, but I've never seen anything else that works well with it. Ian's put in a task manager window for us. I mean, that looks like the bad old days of Windows Vista, doesn't it? It's not a million miles away.
If you look at it, it's a lot more detailed than it used to be. Apparently it's going to colour code.
Lots of beige.
According to things that are taking up more CPU cycles than others.
I like that. Yeah, that's
the more
good.
Beige it is, the worse. Yeah.
I think it was red actually when it gets worse. And I think the idea, but doesn't it worry? The only thing that worries me slightly, they spent a lot of time developing Task Manager. Just generally, what does that tell you? What you're going to be using a lot?
They're spending a lot of time using it. Yeah.
The predominant interface.
It's
interesting
funny because
thing, though, they've introduced startup here now, so you can tweak and get rid of things that have jumped into your start menu. And see this background process, anti-malware service. Apparently, anti-malware sort of features are built into the OS now. No need to install anything on top. It'll have it there already sat behind the security.
Well, they did some malware before, though, didn't they? They've done malware protection since Vista.
Yeah, but it's built in.
Right.
Mm. Your Defender was rubbish. You might as well not bother.
At least it was there.
Yeah, there are some genuine under-the-hood improvements that are really cool. One of those is that the Windows Defender is now loaded at boot time and checks your boot certificates. I don't know if that's what they call it. Your boot signatures to and won't even start Windows unless it, or load drivers until it can make sure that it passes the test.
Hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks like it's not... Lots of good little bits in the back, but also it's going to be fully virtualized. The OS is going to have Hyper-V running underneath right from the get-go.
Yeah, we knew that. They did. I think Microsoft did say they were planning on doing that for ensuring that we have. That's how they intended to make sure we've got backward compatibility through previous versions of Windows.
Yeah, I mean, there's a line here that I'm looking at. They're saying that low-end processors are catered for as well with this system. So they're talking about a very light user interface in terms of CPU load. They're saying if you've got anything that's Atom-based with 1 gig of RAM, it'll be able to run Windows 8 without a problem.
Right, and they want the people to write, they want developers to now write very light applications that hover and float atop some very hardware agnostic APIs so that you can then deploy the newly written software on both ARM and x86 chips. But question for you guys, do you think that, did you get the impression, as I did, and I think the majority of people did, that this Metro user interface and the new APIs they showed really are what they want developers to use now, and they want them to move away from Silverlight.net and that whole desktop traditional look?
Well, this is the thing.
Really, that impression.
This is the real. This is the thing that frustrates me a little bit, because they've been rolling out new versions of .NET, which have sort of slowly improved the desktop interface. Sort of, this, you know, the way you can interact with the desktop. Over the last little while, and it's developers are still catching up. I mean, my brother's a developer, and he's writing a piece of software in .NET 4, which can finally mean you can do cool stuff with the control bars and stuff like that. And it's going, nope, okay, wipe all that away. We're going to do this now. He's going, no, I've only just learned this one. It's actually must be quite frustrating for the developers, because they've got to sort of completely rethink the way they program.
How about the developers who developed Metro apps for the Windows 7 in Silverlight? Silverlight is the development environment for Windows Phone 7, which is the closest thing, almost exactly visually identical to the Metro UI on Windows, which runs in a completely different way. You would expect that the same OS with the same look on the same touch-based personal handheld devices would run the same software like Apple's do, but it doesn't.
It doesn't, oh dear.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know. Oh, yeah. I wonder where that one. I must admit.
Yeah, so that. Yeah, so Silverlight is the preferred.
Quite a lot of Java going on, apparently.
Say again, Ian.
Sorry. It's quite a lot of Java going on. A lot of the apps and everything else are supposed to be Java based. Well, JavaScript, rather.
What's going to be the big thing with Windows, I think, and this is something that I don't know Apple well enough to know how well it does this. But Windows, one of the things about it is it's supposed to be its versatility and the way its applications can interact with each other. Okay, they haven't really got that right, and they've gone through so many from DDE all the way onwards. But if you start putting applications into virtual machines and starting having stuff written light and cute and fluffy and little and filled with helium, how on earth are they going to be able to integrate all these applications and, you know, make sure they don't argue with each other, where you've got the stuff which is supposed to be happening in the background? I fear the worst, where stuff isn't really going to be exchanged properly. That's really, business systems are really going to suffer, I think.
Are we in danger here of, I'm trying to be balanced here, but from, you know, what Sarah said earlier on about, we've got to applaud the fact that they've tried to make a difference. They've tried to make a change. They're not sitting back and amending to a minuscule degree, a crapped out OS and UI. They've gone for something that's bold and brave and different. They'll get criticized for that in the process. But at least they've tried to be innovative, and they've tried to take Apple on. And they've gone for a touch UI, which no one's done yet. You know, where there's been an interface that's perfectly built for that other than iOS. You know, they're talking about, you know, we've talked about WebOS being this integration of desktop to tablet to phone, and that's all gone now thanks to HP. Could this be the next iteration of a one-stop shop for all OSs? And should that be the right thing to go forward? Should that be the way that OSs should be looking? Are they following just the iOS model, or is this something different?
I personally think that I'm beginning to think that this is going to become like Vista, and a lot of people like me will probably completely bypass it, and it'll be Windows 9 before we get that true integration.
And that's kind of sad, because this is a cutting edge. It's the leap forwards.
And yet, this isn't even going to hit the market for over a year.
Yeah, I think
that's a lot of time for stuff to change. There's a lot of time for stuff to change. You know?
Yeah.
It's going to be better. And I'm almost convinced, looking at this, that businesses are going to look at this and go, oh, well, wait. So I'm hoping Microsoft are going to release a 7.5 Windows 8 without the nonsense on. that's aimed so at business. Like, cut down a professional version that's aimed at business, still with all the improvements under the hood.
So it'll become like Vista, the same thing with Vista, that in terms of the attitude that business had to it. They'll wait for Windows 7 to come along and jump from XP to Windows 7, as they'll do with this, because it's, I think it's been released in a hurry. That UI really shows that
it's really not thought out. I have to say, I like the UI. I think it looks clean. It looks usable. And if it actually gives you the functionality, and that's the key part, I can't tell by just looking at a picture. But from what I've seen there, the buttons look clean. They look crisp. They look easy to press. If it's got the functionality behind those buttons and the navigation ability through the UI, I'm sold. It looks great.
Yeah.
It looks like my phone on a tablet. Brilliant. It's going to work really well. It is going to be surprisingly easy to use. You are going to go, you're not going to need to figure out how to make it work. You're just going to pick it up, just like an iPad. You're going to look at it and go, all right, that's Internet Explorer. Recognize the icon. There's an icon for me, mail.
You've used it. I haven't, Ian. So here's the real point. That's the question for all of you guys. iOS has followed the tablet market to the detriment of the desktop a little bit. And I think the next iteration that we get of an OS for Mac is going to be very much closer to iOS. Whereas has this taken a balance between the desktop and the tablet? Is this a fair representation of a balanced operating system that will span cross platforms instead of dominating and going towards iOS wholesale, which Apple seem to be doing?
I guess the question is, do you want people to touch their screens? Reach out, people, touch your screens. Touch your screens, people. Believe. Because that's what it's all about. It's a touchy thing.
I think the touchpad is going to become the laptop or desktop interface in the same way that you do get on the phones.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Sarah. I can't see touch screens as we all sort of realise, I think, and even Steve Jobs sort of made a point in one of his keynotes just recently, didn't he, that the whole act of pointing at the screen is going to make your arms ache after a while. It's not going to be it's not a natural or a comfortable thing to do. So having a little tablet that's sat down beside you where your mouse would sit now, that you run your fingers over and you can do the same kind of interaction, it's going to be great.
That'll bring
these kind of things to life.
How he makes that statement and generates a tablet that weighs 1.5 pounds is beyond me. Eric,
Let me jump in, because this is the perfect opening. So exactly what you guys have just been saying. I think this is this is incredibly sleeplessly frightening for Microsoft, risky, because of what they could do. Because basically, if you drill it all down, they're betting their company on their touch interface. You see, now, as soon as I say that, everyone goes nuts and they say, no, they're not. It's a developer preview. It's going to change. It'll be better. They're betting their company on that Metro user interface, which has never been popular on any product, in purely measuring sales. Here's why. They're not improving Windows 8 for usability or for the rest of the world. They're making it more complicated. By Windows 8, I mean the Windows Classic, I'll call it. Windows Classic is not being improved for usability. They're making it worse. They're going farther away from the direction of simplicity. At the same time, they're telling everybody that the future of Windows app development is these new APIs on this new Metro platform. The only reason that Metro is there is to satisfy touch-based computers, the tablets out there, where they are a no-show. They have no presence in the tablet market. Therefore, they have no momentum. They've been able to get by with crappy Windows releases for years because of their momentum. They have 95% market share, and that hasn't been going anywhere because businesses like the consistency, they keep buying it. But now they're telling everyone, throw all that away, because we're a new market entry to the tablet space. Okay, I get that. iPad, Android, Windows 8, level playing field. None of them is an incumbent or a dominant player, or Microsoft is brand new to it at least and is playing catch up. So they have no momentum in the tablet space. They're taking that complete lack of momentum in the tablet space and saying, we like this user interface so much and are betting the company on touch interfaces, and this one in particular, that we're saying, developers, rewrite everything for that. That's your UI. You write for that first, and the classic Windows secondly, if ever. So then they're betting on the tablets and the touch-based being so dominant of the sales of software and hardware that the keyboard and mouse users, for whom that interface is not ideal, are totally don't even mind that. So they're betting that the desktop PCs, they're actually severing their momentum. They're stopping. They're pulling the emergency brake on their momentum that they've had with 95% market share to say we're doing it so differently based on an unproven user interface. Second, and then I'll promise I'll shut up, they're betting it on a architecture that Chrome could come along, Chrome OS, Chrome browser in the web. If everything is basically a web page running on very light APIs on top of any abstracted hardware, JavaScript, HTML5, that's a web page. You don't need expensive proprietary operating systems like Microsoft Windows for that. You can use Linux or Chrome OS. Google wants them to do that because if every developer becomes a JavaScript and HTML5 developer, that means they can port their app easily and quickly to every web browser on the planet and at least to the Chrome App Store, which is already the first web app store that runs in a browser. If they can't win people over with that interface across all their platforms, then Google and others will win, and they will sever any relevance they've ever had culturally and have stopped all momentum, and will have to, they'll become like a Yahoo or an AOL.
See, that's why the developers have just gone, whoa. Because they just don't know whether to do this or not, because they don't know, they'd be completely wasting their time.
I'm sorry, Eric, could you repeat the question?
the thing is, Eric, I accept what you're saying about Google, but do we not think that Apple are going to go down the same road? To a certain extent, they already have.
Well, and to a certain extent, they have 80% of the market share. So anything that they do,
Do you think they're going to look at taking their laptop and desktop PC operating systems and turning it into a touch interface?
They're going to be much more cautious than Microsoft. I mean, the first thing they've done with Lion has been a misstep. I think Microsoft is the one company that can't afford to do something radical like that, and yet they're the only company who is doing that right now.
Why not?
Because of business customers. Because they are the customer. Are you saying why they can't afford to? It's because they are the operating system of business, of 95% of the world's business.
Yes, I agree. But also, coming back to what I was saying earlier about the fact that, you know, them stepping back and saying, okay, how can we improve this? If they can get it right, why not?
I agree with that point. Before
we had Windows 95, we never had a mouse on our, unless you had a Xerox machine or whatever, or an early Apple. You didn't have a mouse on your desk. Now everybody has a mouse on a desk. That came out of the innovation. Okay, you know, Microsoft weren't the first, but the fact is that they actually are the ones that brought that to the mainstream.
Actually,
so why can't they do the same thing? Just because it's a business interface doesn't mean to say that that can't be adopted in the same way.
You've raised an interesting point, actually, Sarah, and that the mouse is ergonomically utterly appalling. Yes, it performs a reasonable function, but so many people get RSI from it. And so it just struck me that actually a new interface may be a necessity rather than an option, if you see what I mean. So actually the paradigm needs to shift for people's own well-being. And if Microsoft can sell it on that, as in no more aching wrists, no more carpal tunnel, they could have a winner there. What also struck me though is the fact that Microsoft have taken this great leap, and I'm wondering if it's because I thought to myself, the Linux community, that the independent communities of developers who are developing open source software, I'm surprised they haven't come up with something really clever and revolutionary. And I'm wondering if that's still yet to happen.
By the way, James, what's going to stop these people if all these apps are really just basically HTML5 and JavaScript interfaces? What's going to stop people from making an open source emulator so that you can run these Windows 8 immersive immersive applications on any Linux? Exactly. Yeah.
Eric, for what it's worth, I actually completely agree with you. And I do think that the web is the way forward.
And actually, Sarah, though, I do have an answer for exactly the question you posed. And the answer is, I'll be quick. All of that stuff I said about betting the company would not be true at all if they had merely taken the Windows Phone 7 operating system and ported that to slightly larger tablets. If they had just done that, they'd have a tablet and phone OS, and they'd have a desktop OS, just like Google, just like Apple, just like every other company in history. That's the separation. Instead, they're betting the company on a product that doesn't exist. if they had just said, okay, we have no tablet presence, so we're just going to make this interface and put it on tablets, and we'll let them use the phones applications already. They're not doing that. Instead, they're saying, we're so confident that we're going to just destroy the tablet market with this, again, totally unproven system of a PC that is everything to all, that is everything to you. 1 minute it's your desktop PC and a dock, and the next minute it's your tablet on the road. I don't think that's a good idea. They're betting so heavily on that that they're screwing up their desktop cash cow operating system for that.
Could be. Last word goes to the chat room. And the point that Russ is trying to make, I think, is would you want to come down to that in a hangover? It's a bit gory, isn't it?
It's like looking at Times Square.
Can I just ask one question on that? I mean, when I looked at that, I thought, you've got squares on there that are different sizes. How, I don't know whether you've managed to figure this out, Ian, but do you know how you determine which one of those things on the desktop is a square and which is a rectangle?
I think it's set in the actual application and not in... You have no control over the size of the little squares. You can tap on the little square and you can drag it about and you can line it up how you want. You can do it on the phone. You have a thing where you've got a menu list and you can pin a particular square you like. In the way I did on my phone, I've pinned various apps that I use all the time to the front screen and the desktop, whatever you like to call it. And I think in the same way here, you can pin the bits that interest you on the front. Like I've said, there's a load of games pinned on there and you've got bits and bats going on with the desktop and stuff. And it's as simple as that. So you needn't get your hands dirty going into the Explorer at all, because you can just click on these things.
I think what would be quite interesting and quite nice would be if you could tailor those icons to reflect your majority of use.
So you could just make them bigger.
That's what I was going to say.
That would be superb.
You should be able to customize it, because otherwise you're going to get vendors that are going to release it. We want the biggest thing we can have on our page to promote our product. Yeah, and it's going to be a constant battle, isn't it?
Russ in the chat room saying you can switch the mode of some of those tiles to display data or just the icon.
That's what I was going to say. I think that I'll bet Microsoft themselves don't really know yet what they're going to do with this, or how will they let people resize the icons. But the one thing I can glean from this is that it looks like the only tiles that can show live data updates with like text readouts of tweets or photos or streams or things are the wider ones.
No, the smaller ones do work as well, because my phone, the People app, which is the contacts, that flashes through. I mean, I don't know if I can see it on here. You'll see the photos from my Facebook feeds and my calendar and stuff jump around on there.
Right.
I'm not sure if it's visible on the camera.
Just tilt it back. Game
11, I think.
So with these different size objects, are we going to end up with a giant game of Tetris on our desktop?
Well, that keeps flickering around like a silly bugger. Oh, yeah, there we go. And you can see this one down there where my son and my wife pop up. That's sort of
I like the word tessellation. Tessellation, ladies and gentlemen.
Tessellation.
Right. It becomes...
We should call it quits at that point, I think. Okay. The chat room's had enough. Mm-hmm. I was going to do another subject, but we haven't really got time, so we'll leave it there. Good discussion. Just to summarise then, thumbs up, thumbs down, wobble. James?
I'm going to reserve judgment until I've had a really good play with it. But for the time being, I can't really see the benefit at the moment, so it's a kind of little bit downwards like that.
A little bit downwards, okay. Ian?
Thumbs up for me. I'm liking the interface on my phone. I can see it being great on a tablet. With a multi-touch device, I can see it being great. Let's see what they do with it. This is still only a dev release. We're getting all that under the collar over something that's still a dev release. It will still have time to change.
But you're excited.
But I am pleased. I'm looking forward to it.
Good man. Sarah?
A bit like James, I kind of think, everything I've said, I reserve judgment really until I've had a chance to play with it myself. But I am a bit concerned, and I wonder whether this is going to be an interim version before we get the full-blown product that's going to be really usable in the same way that Windows 7 was with XP.
Right. And Eric Landing, in less than 300 words?
The success of this product is going to be dependent on Microsoft's ability to reinvent themselves. But Steve Ballmer said they're going to reinvent themselves, so only if they reinvent themselves will the product be successful. I mean,
I love what he's up.
Yes. Hey, man.
Well done,
you
mate.
Sounded like you were doing the legal bit on a radio advert, Eric.
Yes, exactly.
I'll give you a bit more time to do your cool thingies this week, because what I want to talk about next is UK2.net, because we've got a bit of a competition running with them at the moment, which is rather good. UK Two are our sponsors. If you didn't know, if you've listened, a regular listener to Bagel Tech, you will definitely know about UK Two. They're the people that keep us afloat. Please, 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 if you want to buy web services, if you want to buy VPS servers, if you want to buy co-location services, domain hosting, anything like that, please use UK Two, because every time you do and you go through our click through on our website, if you go to our website and scroll down, you'll see there's a logo that says Bagel Tech is powered by UK Two on the left hand side. Click on that, and it'll take you through to the UK2 site, and they'll know that we sent you, and we get credit for that. And when you buy anything, you've got two offer codes you can use. You can use Bagel Tech, which will get you 15% off. And if you transfer a domain in, you can get rid of the DNS management charge that UK2 charge by typing in Bagel DNS. And you can use both codes to get yourself a much better deal. So that's your first option. Now, here's your second option. When you get to our page, you'll find a little box there that says win a Nintendo 3DS. Or 1 year's hosting, or a £25 iTunes voucher. And that's the program. That's the competition. Click on that. It'll take you through. There's an entry form that you come up with, and you're going to need to put your name and email address, and you've got to put an answer to a simple question. How much hard disk drive space does the UK V400 VPS server have? And if you look back to where we logged in, you can actually click on that, and it'll tell you what the storage space is on it. And that'll give you your answer. So it's not exactly hard to work out what it is. Please, 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 if you buy any services, use uk2.net. They keep us afloat and we'd be lost without them. And please, 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 have a go at entering the competition for us. Most of you are probably UK2 customers anyway, so they've got your email address. You might as well see if you can get a free Nintendo 3DS out of it. I'm going to change that line because that doesn't work. Blah. uk2.net, please support them. We'd be lost without them. Have we got a cool thingy, anyone? James, have you got a cool thingy for us?
Well, I ordered something off of eBay for my beloved wife, and I'll tell you why. I ordered this little baby, which is a micro USB to mini USB adapter.
Right.
Because she went on eBay and bought herself a wind-up torch with phone charger, which I think is quite a useful thing if you're going camping with Ellis. Quite useful. It's a bit late now. You can
I've
borrow
got one of those, and they crapped out after about three goes.
They're really?
Not, yeah, they're not good.
Oh dear.
It's the exact same model as well. Sorry to disappoint.
Well, I've wasted money on this from China. Just think of the trees that have died because of you not telling me. No, I see. It cost me a couple of quid. But the thing is, you get so many of these mini USBs. I've got countless mini USB cables,
yeah, yeah,
but very few micro USB ones. And so I just picked this up, and it's got all.
That'd be really useful for the car, factor, wouldn't it? Where you've got a micro USB on your Mophie juice pack or something, but your car's got a mini USB.
Yep,
definitely.
So just type in micro to mini USB adapter, and
on
that's
eBay.
It'll come in really handy.
£2.
Two quid.
Postage. 25
not
quid.
Much more than that, yes. No. As long as you're happy to wait for it. I mean, this took a couple of weeks, but I'm just happy to wait. It doesn't cost much at all.
Excellent. If anyone picks Windows 8, by the way, they're never coming on again. Ian, what's your pick?
Well, there goes my cool thing.
You never had one anyway.
My cool thing is a web service. I was tweeting about it earlier in the week. If this, then that. It's
right.
A neat little service where you can, if you're very much online with all your services and things, you can say, if I get an email from this person, tweet me the text. If you get a meeting request in your calendar, then do this with it. It's you can link stuff up together. I've been playing around with it this week. It was quite neat, and you can do things with Twitter, and you can do things with countless online services. And it's found at ifttt.com.
Yeah, I mean, I'm showing a picture of it here, and the concept is actually very good. It's saying, you know, if you do this, then what's your action to prompt? And it's a great, simple application. The one thing it doesn't let you do is sign up with more than one Twitter account, so you can't spread out across multiple Twitter accounts with it. And I've tried the WordPress plugin, and every single routine that I've set up for this, Ian, I haven't got a single one to bloody work. So I won't be recommending it until I can get one to actually work, but it's not worked yet.
I've set a couple up, so I'm going to see if they work. I've got one that's supposed to tell me when it rains. So there's a little thing you can link up with a weather app. I thought, well, that seems like a useful thing. Let's just see if it's going to tell me it's going to. It's supposed to rain tomorrow, so let's see if it works.
Thanks, mate.
See, Eric, we're obsessed with the weather.
Sarah, what have you got for us, Mrs.?
Mine's a website that I discovered a couple of days ago, and it's called whatwasthere.com. And it's what it is. It's a website that allows you to type in a location. It uses Google Maps, and it uses Google Street View along with old photographs that people have actually posted on the site. And you can add to it as well. And what it does is it allows you to overlay, see the old photographs overlaid over the street view of where that view is. Oh, wow. And then you can fade in and out and see what it is like, what it's like now and what it was like in that photograph. I must say, having looked at it, most of the photographs that are on there are you in the US. However, there are there's a growing number in the UK as well. And I must admit, I've got a lot of family history photos, and I'm already thinking, this could be good.
Well, speaking of this, but in the UK, have you guys seen that Google, I think it's part of Google Earth, possibly Google Maps on the site, but I think you have to download Google Earth. You can go backwards in time in many European locations. Like, they showed that because there were such good historical aerial images of the area, like after the post-World War II bombing, they've got like World War II era London and Paris and some other major cities that at the time had these, rare photos taken from above. Oh, I'm looking at the site Ewan's pulling up. It looks like
use the fader bar above the photograph, and you can see it fading in and out between the two of you.
That's cooler than I thought you meant, Sarah. That's not above, is it? That's street level. That's like a person's eye view.
Yeah, there's a fader bar. It's just in the green bit, I think, Ewan. You fade it between the two, backwards and forwards, you can see the new image over the old image over the top of the new image.
Oh, that's really cool. No, I see what you mean. This is not an overhead view, but like a Google satellite image, but rather this is like, it's like Street View, and they're like lining up the photo.
I think it's using the Google Street View with the old images that people have posted on the site.
Well, that street's a lot wider than it used to be, that's for sure.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I love this sort of stuff. I do a lot of family history research and come across obviously quite a lot of old photos. And this was right up my street, pardon the pun.
For someone who usually picks a coding book, Sarah, or has no pick whatsoever, you've excelled yourself this week, Mrs. Well done.
Thank you.
Top marks.
That's very cool.
Eric, top that, dude.
My cool thingy was the thing I just said during Sarah's. I don't have anything.
Okay, mate. You never have any. You're lightweight. My cool thing is something I got from photojojo.com this week, and it's called the Strap Buddy. And basically, normally if you put your strap on your camera, you end up with your strap across the top, and when you let go of the camera, it sits on your guts, and the lens points out forwards, and if you walk into a wall, you'll walk into the wall with the lens, not with anything else. This thing actually gives you a strap position on the underside of your camera, where your tripod normally mounts, and then it mounts into the normal position on your camera strap on the right-hand side. But what the effect of that is, when you let go of your camera, it actually hangs so that the lens points straight down when you've got it around your body, so the lens isn't sticking out and liable to get bashed. The only thing I would say that would make it a super cool thingy would be if it had a pass-through thread so that you could actually put
it on a tripod.
I was just going to ask that.
Mm. Yeah, righto, Lanigan.
That would be cool.
Yeah, righto, Lanigan. One of the days you're going to try on this podcast.
I was going to ask that.
Where can we get a hold of you, James?
SYZYGY. This is you on Twitter.
Good man, thank you very much. See you next week.
I'll Good be man. There. Oh, Ian, that's somebody else's phrase.
I expect a full demonstration of Windows 8 next week.
I'll do my best.
Your mission. Come back next week and tell us Windows 8. Give us the screen demonstration of it all and give us the lowdown. But you only get 15 minutes because everyone's really pissed off that we took the entire show today. So,
well, it must be changed. You don't often cover Windows in this depth here.
No, I mean, it's all the Mac boys in the chat room that are giving it a load of... So leave them alone, who cares? Sarah, where can we get you, girl?
You can get hold of me on my website, sarahjaneuk.com, or most of all on Twitter. Where I'm very vocal.
And Ian, I forgot to ask where we can get you. Do apologise.
As the usual, at TIOABOA on Twitter. Is it a place?
Turn it off and back on again, music. Which we've done this evening. Yes, thanks, mate. I do actually think of that now. Every time I switch them off and back on again, I think of you.
Oh, thank you.
And Eric Lanigan, Mr. Late Night Tech.
Exactly. Late. Now you. Late you, night.
I was watching your show on Thursday because it was Thursday morning when I woke up. But you were delivering it on Wednesday night. So how many nights a week are you doing now?
I'm doing it three. I'm doing it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at about 9 p.m. Pacific, which is about I try to get in there closer to 11, but the setup time right now has been crazy. So roughly 11 o'clock Eastern p.m., 8 p.m. Pacific, 8 or 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 or 12 Eastern, which is funny because for you, that's like early morning the next day.
Well, that's like 5 till 8 o'clock, so that's not bad. Is it 3 hours really? Long?
Am I doing a morning show in the UK?
You're doing a morning show in the UK, dude. You could get a UK audience out of that.
So that means that I'm doing a late night, primetime morning show.
Yeah.
It's going to be primetime somewhere in the world, Eric.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's primetime in the US. It's primetime on the West Coast because the start of late night, which is 11 p.m. on the East Coast, is 8 p.m. start of primetime on the West Coast.
Yeah. There are people in Bogota that are ecstatic, Eric. I have good authority.
So yeah, twitter.com/EricLanigan, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-I-G-A.
And EricLanigan.com for the video and stuff.
Exactly. Thank you.
We'll be back again tomorrow. We've got Mac and Photo Show have swapped around because Dr. Happy Mac was complaining that 1 o'clock cut his day in half, which was fair enough. So we're going to do the Photo Show at 1 o'clock and then we're going to do the Mac Show at 3 p.m. So come and join us in the chat room and throw the rubbish at us. And then we'll be back again with the Daily Show as well in the morning. So more the roundup of the previous 48 hours tech news as normal. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks ever so much for listening.